Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can dial in toll-free here at 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, Ian here with you.
Danica.
And Daryl.
We've got Skype. Our Skype username is lrn.fm, so feel free to reach out to us that way. According to the story over at The Daily Dot, Darknet markets are now offering more drugs than ever before, even after the takedowns of the Silk Road and the Evolution marketplace going away and several other markets being raided by the federal government and governments around the world. The darknet markets appear to be here to stay. We'll give you the update on that here in a little bit. But Danica, you wanted to tell us about a bear. A kind of a mascot bear for an unusual thing. We're not talking about a sports team here.
Or a teddy bear, for that matter.
What is it?
It is called Seppukuma, which loosely translates to suicide bear. I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar with Seppuku and Kuma, meaning bear. So the team
suicide bear.
A suicide bear. So
bears that are committing suicide?
No, bears that, well, theoretically, a bear that is assisting with suicide. Because in Japan, death with dignity or assisted suicide is legal there. And Japan has a growing suicide problem. I know part of the suicide issue comes from students, because students have a lot of pressure on them to do well in school and in business. And also they've got a growing senior population. So a team of engineers working for the JSU...
Where's this coming from, by the way?
This is coming from iflscience.org.
All right.
A team of engineers working for the JSDD, which is the Japan Society for Dying with Dignity, with help from the Orient Industry Company, have created an experimental robotic bear to assist in euthanasia and assisted suicide in Japan. Seppukuma, which loosely translates to suicide bear, has robotic arms that are able to carry up to 80 kilograms of weight, hands that are powerful enough to crush human bone, and has roller legs that can retract or extend from a base as necessary when bending to pick someone up out of bed or when maneuvering through tight spaces like doorways. So if you see the picture I sent it to you, you can see that it's, you know, just a regular robot and it's cradling someone in its arms, so it's strong enough to carry most human weight and carry them around, because some that are severely depressed or have some sort of physical issues can't get up on their own.
Okay, and you said that this thing could crush human bones? Like, that does not sound like Dying with Dignity to be picked up and crushed by robotic pedo bear.
Sure, that doesn't sound very glamorous, doesn't it? But it's designed so that it can possibly crush human bones.
Like, if there's going to be a bear that assists in my death, it's going to be a bear in the middle of the woods, and he's going to eat my head.
Well, you haven't even heard about the suicide methods that this bear offers, which I'll be getting to in just a little bit.
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
Yeah, so it's...
So the crushing of the bones is not the suicide method.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the only suicide method, but I'll get to that in a second. So the
okay.
I see the look on Daryl's face. He's getting progressively uncomfortable, and I can't wait to share more of the article. The robot weighs 140 kilograms and is powered by specifically designed software and advanced actuators, which is a type of motor that controls mechanisms. Seppukuma also offers 23 very different methods one can choose to end their life. Are you ready for this?
23? I can't even think of more than, like, seven.
Oh, then you'll love this list. So we have...
Hold on. So let me tell you the ones that I can think of. You hang yourself. You shoot yourself in the head. You take some pills. You inject some stuff.
You slice your wrist.
You cut yourself. You could also, and I don't know why anybody would do this, but you could cut your Achilles tendons, shoot yourself in the knees, and then shoot yourself in the stomach, and that is the slowest, most painful way to die.
Bleeding to death at that point?
You could strap yourself to a bed that's over top of a bamboo shoot and let the bamboo grow through you. Again, I don't know why anybody would do that.
Or
but
drowning. You could, like, tie a rock to your feet or whatever and sure. know, drown yourself.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that because yeah. that just seems like something that would be way too
buried
painful.
Alive.
Like, you know,
be buried alive.
You can't bury yourself yeah, alive. Like, suicide. Lay there and then you pour dirt on top of yourself.
I guess, well, and maybe
sure
you could have,
you
like,
could.
A, maybe you could have, like, a dump truck full of dirt that you could pull a lever and then it would just pour out onto you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's possible.
Yeah, so that's, like, 9. So tell me these other 15 ways to die.
Wait, so this bear is supposed to be able to perform all
23. All 23 of that, yeah.
Okay.
So we
not quite 24.
Yeah. Right. So we've got included.
Need to teach the old bear new tricks.
No, that's right. Always new times for programming. So we've got everlasting sleep, which is lethal injection. Pillow kisses, which is suffocation. Peaceful stop making me laugh. Peaceful breath, which is helium asphyxia. And I don't even want to think about how that happens. You just inhale helium and
oh, okay. No, so you know, like, when you have you ever had surgery before?
Yes.
Okay, where they put the thing over your mouth and it you breathe in whatever and then you fall asleep?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm thinking you would do something similar to that, where you put on the little mask and you just start breathing and you fall asleep mm-hmm. and then you never wake up.
And this is my favorite one, and this is the one that will make Daryl very happy. You have sleepy time hug is where the robotic bear strangles its partner until their pulse stops for 15 minutes.
Why would anybody do that?
That's where the hands come in, I guess. All these attributes enable the Sepakuma to give its patient the power to choose how they want to end their own life.
Those were only 4. I want 19 more ways to die.
Well, I don't think that they've actually been able to release the other 19 ways to die. Those are just a few of the options.
They're false advertising
they're
if they say 23,
testing.
But they don't tell me all 23. It's like at KFC, they say 13 herbs and spices, but they don't tell me what they are.
It's a secret.
As far as I know, there's only 5 herbs and spices.
It's still in testing.
It's a secret. They can't tell you. Otherwise, you figure out the recipe.
Then as far as I'm concerned, there's only 5, not 13. Mm. They're lying.
Oh, okay. Well, they're still in testing, so more should be released then.
How do you test a suicide bear?
Oh, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay, you find people that want to die and say,
right.
So we've got this suicide bear that's in, like, beta, so we're still trying to work out some bugs. Can we test you on method number 12?
All right, moving on.
Well, it's interesting because this is the first time that these kinds of robots have been introduced. An official from the JSDD says that so far, robots have never been used for this purpose in any hospital.
Hold on. Don't these robots violate Asimov's something-something rule about don't harm humans?
But they're programmed to specifically end someone's life. And
right, but robots aren't supposed to be able to, like, do things that harm humans, even if it is their duty.
Well, I mean, not every robot is going to follow Asimov's robot rules, right? I mean, that would only be the ones who are following who care about programming those rules into them. I mean, we can't presume that
I thought the rules of robots were like, these
immutable?
Are the rules you have to
no,
apply.
No,
it's like,
if you have a robot,
it's like the Hippocratic Oath. Like, doctors are supposed to do
those.
Neither the T-1000s.
That's a Terminator as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, you guys
different
totally
kind of
lost me. But, like, the Hippocratic Oath.
You've never
no.
seen?
What?
Oh, my God.
I have never seen Terminator.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You're missing
okay.
out.
Like, I'm vaguely aware that there's robots right. from the future that come to the past to prevent the robots from taking over in the future.
But now we have robots
which,
that
based
help.
On the time travel paradox, means that the robots never came to the past because they prevented the robots in the future, and
Terminator
5
is coming out this summer.
Hey, hold
I'm
on,
looking
hold
forward
on.
To it.
Yeah, I am, too. I'll throw this in for Daryl. You should start watching the Terminator series
no.
because the Emilia Clarke, who plays Daenerys Targaryen, is Sarah Connor in this one, so you
oh,
might
really?
Want to get caught up. That will get Daryl to watch it.
That will get Daryl on board.
She's
right?
not
he
blonde,
loves that
though.
Show.
She is not blonde.
But is she topless?
Maybe.
Sarah Connor's not going to get topless.
I just said maybe.
I'll continue watching Game of Thrones. But still, so the Hippocratic Oath, and that's what I was going
do no
to.
No harm.
First rule, do no harm.
For doctors.
And
robots
doctors,
don't have to follow that rule.
Right. But doctors don't take that oath anymore.
Really?
So I didn't know if the Asimov rules were like rules that don't apply to robots anymore.
I can't let this go any further, Danica, without saying this is a false story. Did you know that?
Oh, okay.
Did you know it was false?
No.
Okay, so I just Googled. I was Googling this. What did you call it? The seppuku bear or something like that?
Seppukuma, yeah.
Seppukuma. I Googled that, and the first result that came up was Snopes.com.
Ah, so Snopes says
we'll
it's false.
Give you the story here in moments. 855, 453. You are reading from a satire website. And you didn't know it. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you living with pain? So was Lisa, a brave Marine wounded in Iraq.
After surviving an explosion, I was on horrible painkillers. I tried 1 hour pain relief, and now I'm pain-free all day without dangerous side effects. And it works in less than 1 hour.
Try it free for 1 week and pay only the shipping with no automatic shipments. Call 800-400-3610 right now or visit onehourpainrelief.com. That's 800-400-3610. 800-400-3610.
When the leading antihistamine and Nasacort go nose-to-nose, Nasacort wins, stopping more of the chemical responses that can cause your nasal allergy symptoms. And when you stop more causes, you get 24-hour relief from sneezing, an itchy runny nose, even congestion. It's prescription-strength medicine available over-the-counter. Nasacort Allergy 24-hour. Stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising costs of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves if you like. You can join us here toll-free, 855-450-FREE. Maybe you've got a story about an awful teacher in a government school, or in any school for that matter. I'm sure there's some bad private school teachers, too. In the case that we discussed earlier, a little girl in kindergarten was forced to poop in her pants because the teacher refused to allow her to use the bathroom. And so there's that, and we also talked earlier about a bizarre art class, Liberland, Sealand, psychotic breaks, anything you want to discuss goes here at 855-450-FREE. Coming up, darknet markets are alive and better than ever. We will tell you more about the status of the marketplace and the underground here in a few moments. Danica, you've been telling us a story that I thought was believable when I first heard it.
Well, it apparently got you guys and it got the LRN chat room. So as far as I'm concerned, it was believable. And it's not unlike Japan to come up with really bizarre stuff like this. I mean, they've got tentacle porn, for crying out loud.
That's true. And that's true. That's absolutely
that
something
is true.
You have. So I've seen it.
This is what, like the fifth time Free Talk Live has mentioned tentacle porn?
Well, maybe in the time you've been on the show, Daryl. We've talked about tentacle porn long before your arrival here. It's very unusual pornography. Anyway, you're right, Danica. Good satire is believable.
Absolutely.
Right? You can pass off good satire as though it's a legitimate headline and a legitimate story. And prior to me Googling, you used the name Sepakuma, which they claim in this article at iflscience.org, that they claim is the name of this bear, this robotic bear that is ostensibly designed to assist with children's suicides.
Not just children, anyone that wants to be assisted.
Be killed by a bear, right.
A robotic bear, that's scary.
So with these, and it does look a lot like Pedo Bear, I have to say. It's just white instead of brown. Anyway, according to the story at Snopes.com, on February 5th of 2015, the website iflscience.org, which has no affiliation with a different website, iflscience.com, published an article reporting that a team of engineers in Japan had created a robot bear named Sepakuma to aid in assisted suicides. Then they quote from the article that you read earlier, talking about how the bear can kill people. While it's true that a robot was recently developed in Japan to provide nursing care for the elderly, the Robear, as it is actually called, R-O-B-E-A-R, Robear, was not designed to aid in assisted suicide, according to a press release issued by RIKEN, which is Japan's largest comprehensive research institution. The Robear was created to perform simple tasks at nursing homes, such as helping patients out of wheelchairs and moving patients in and out of bed. According to the press release, scientists from RIKEN have developed the new experimental nursing care robot, which also, again, is capable of lifting a patient from a bed into a wheelchair or providing assistance with a patient who is able to stand but requires help to do so. Robear will provide impetus for research on the creation of robots that can supplement Japan's need for new approaches to caregiving. With its rapidly increasing elderly population, Japan faces an urgent need for new approaches to assist caregiving personnel. One of the most strenuous tasks for such personnel, carried out an average of 40 times every day, is that of lifting a patient from a bed into a wheelchair, and this is a major cause of lower back pain. Robots are well suited to this task, yet none have yet been deployed in caregiving facilities. So interestingly, instead of actually assisting with children, the bear is actually designed to assist with the elderly and the other infirmed who are in assisted care facilities. According to Toshiharu Mukai, leader of the robot sensor systems research team, quote, "We really hope this robot will lead to advances in nursing care, relieving the burden on caregivers today. We intend to continue with research toward more practical robots capable of providing powerful yet gentle care to elderly people," unquote. The article published at iflscience.org does contain some factual information about the Robear.
Like, Japan exists, and there's a bear.
And there is
that's about the end
of
the fact.
No, the JSDD does, in fact, exist.
But the majority of its details are completely fictional. Robear is not equipped with 23 different methods that one can choose to end their life. Sepakuma does not, in point of fact, mean suicide bear in Japanese, nor is the name of the robot referenced in the article. And a glitch in the AI system's vital sign monitor did not leave 12 beta testing patients' bodies horribly disfigured.
Oh, you spoiled it. I was going to read that for Daryl.
I had to stop it before the end of the segment because I didn't want anyone who was just listening for that segment to think this was real, because it's not. The IFLScience.org site is a spoof website designed to imitate the layout, and you confused it because apparently you were aware, Danica, of the other site,
yeah.
IFLScience.com, which is a legitimate news, or apparently more legitimate news source kind of science.
Now, IFLScience.com has been known to publish not necessarily false information, but not completely
true. They do a lot of clickbait.
Yeah, a lot of clickbait. And some of it's not completely true, but for the most part, it is factual information.
I had never heard of it before tonight.
I've heard of it. A lot of my friends on Facebook will share things from there.
Right.
And it's a bunch of clickbait stuff, and I just want to, like, stab people in the eyeball for sharing clickbait. Because clickbait, in my opinion, is one of, like, the most horrible sins of the internet.
Same with vlogs, right?
Now, comparing the two sites is interesting. If you go back and forth between IFLScience.org and IFLScience.com, IFLScience.com is a little more tightly put together. It's got a nicer feel to it. IFLScience.org, the fake site, is a little sloppier. It looks a little less cared for. And the IFLScience.org website has like an alien spacecraft hovering over its logo, which might give you an indicator that something is amiss, as opposed to the standard IFL Science logo, which has like, you know, a beaker and an atomic particle.
I thought the History Channel logo now has UFOs because of all the weird ancient alien. I don't think it actually does, but like there's so much stuff on the History Channel that's not history.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like the clickbait version of television.
So the spoof site is designed to imitate the layout of IFLScience.com, which is a site that aims to present science in, quote, an amusing and accessible way. IFLScience.org does not contain any disclaimers stating that it is satirical in nature, but the site does link to the satirical Facebook group Christians Against Dinosaurs. So if you look carefully, you'll figure it out. But sometimes talk show hosts don't look very carefully at the things that we talk about, and, you know, you don't pay us to do that. So we just have a good show and have fun with it.
So I had mentioned the rules of robots.
Yeah,
and I actually have these. There are four of them. Asimov came up with the first three in 1942.
Oh, okay.
A robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow a human being to come to harm. Hmm. Rule two, a robot must obey the orders given to it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Okay.
Rule three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
Got it.
And the fourth is a predecessor to the first three, so it is sometimes called the zeroth law. Hmm. A robot may not harm humanity or, by an action, allow humanity to come to harm.
How's that different from rule number one?
Rule number one is a human being. So,
well, wouldn't any harm to humanity include, by definition, at least one human being?
Right. Seems but extraneous. This is much larger. So it's kind of the thing of, if you press a button and you kill two people or 1,000 people, then the robot would have to try to remove the train from the track.
855-450-FREE is the toll-free number. We can talk more about the robot rules, and your thoughts are welcome on Free Talk Live.
So I say to Mark at lunch, look, you know, I keep hearing from the government that, you know, they're worried someday ISIS may get here. And I go, duh, Garland, Texas, Muhammad cartoon shooting, ISIS is already here. I'm not waiting for these people to defend me. If they don't know ISIS is here already, they got no clue, I'm taking care of myself. Guns80.com, AR-15 kits, 30-shot magazines, great prices. They've even got the Hillary special. Guns80.com, that's 844-2-GUNS-80, Guns80.com.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor, period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order. KD offers soft armor and rifle threat rated armor up to level 4. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package. That's CATIArmor.com. Come and take it.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Welcome back to more Free Talk Live. You can dial in to share your thoughts with us. 855-453 is the toll-free number. 855-450-3733. Ran up to the LRN.FM restroom during the break there and pulled up.
Even though I told you that you couldn't.
Yeah, both of us.
You had to wait until the end of the show.
And I pulled up my phone and the Next Issue app while I was in there so I could read some magazine articles. And I pulled up it was a previous issue of PC Magazine, where this Next Issue app has access to over 150 of some of the best magazines in the United States. And PC Magazine, of course, been around for a long time. They've got an article in there that I was reading about, don't buy a smartwatch. This guy is not impressed with the smartwatches that are kind of hitting the stores over the last couple of years. And so that's what the article is about. And I have to say, I'm not particularly interested in buying one of these things.
Let me just shorten that and just say, don't buy a watch.
Why?
Because there's clocks everywhere. You've got a clock on your cell phone. There's clocks on walls. There's clocks on your computer. There's clocks on
It's a nice accessory.
I hate watches, okay?
Well, that is your opinion.
I'm anti-watch, but still, just don't buy a watch. Like, there are so many other ways to tell time. Sundials. Like,
I am with you, actually, Daryl. I haven't had a watch for my adult life, basically. And the reason I stopped wearing one was because I got a cell phone, and I said, I've already got the time on me in my pocket. Why do I need it on my wrist?
So, I've.
What if your phone dies?
My phone hasn't. I mean, I've got ways to charge the phone.
Like, you're never more than, you know, a couple minutes away from somebody that can tell you what time it is anyway.
Yeah. So
like, in my adult life, I think I've had three jobs where I had to wear a watch. And it just feels weird having something on my wrist. I hate it.
Well, yeah, and apparently these smartwatches are, at least in the case of the Apple Watch, you have to have the Apple phone as well. So it's not like...
Right, you can't get an Apple Watch and you have Samsung.
It. Yeah, right. Or you can't just have a watch. You have to have it tethered to a phone. So you have to have a phone in your pocket if you want to use this watch.
Oh, because it's like Bluetooth or something.
Yeah, and you got to charge the damn watch every night, too. So, you know, as if it weren't bad enough, you have to charge your phone, now you got to charge the watch. I've still got my old watch from when I was a teenager. It's just sitting in a drawer somewhere. It still tells the time, and you know that thing's still going. So
I'm sure that my buddy from high school still has his TV watch. Do you remember those?
Yeah,
the TV watches.
You could, where they were remote controlled. They had an infrared on it, and you could actually turn the TV on in the classroom and really piss the teacher off.
Oh wow!
Change the channels on them.
My favorite watch, and I still have it, I just haven't gotten around to putting a new battery in it. It has a square face to it, and it's got the 10, 11, 12 in the middle, and then 1, 2, and 3. But the sides are completely bare. It's got the numbers on top, and at the bottom, the sides are bare. And it's just, I don't know, it's such a unique watch, and I really love it. And one of these days, I'll get a battery for it. But it's just really unique to me. And I like the appeal of a watch. I like the accessory that it brings, but I mean, even I admit that I don't wear my watch anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I watched the React channel on YouTube on a fairly regular basis, and they have the Elders React, which is a really fun series, and a lot of them are elders reacting to new technology.
Yeah.
And in most of the Elders React, they don't know what they're reacting to. They've never heard of it. They don't know what this thing is, and they're going in completely blind. But it was interesting that the watch episode, they did one with the Apple Watch, and almost every single one of the elders knew what this was. It had been very effectively marketed to them, meaning they were all aware of its existence. Now, not all of them thought it was particularly useful or interesting, but they were all aware of it. And I just thought it was interesting that, you know, this elderly group, over 65, presumably most of them, that, you know, they're aware of this new technology where normally most new technology they're not necessarily in the loop with.
Right.
And I think it's because it's a watch and they understand what a watch is. And so they're more, it's more sort of like in their purview, whereas younger people may not have the same appreciation for a watch. How many kids these days have watches? How many people under the age of 35?
I would love to see the kids or the teenagers react to a pocket watch.
Like an old one with a click
the one where you have to wind it up to get it to work. They'd just be like, "What is it? How does this work? Like, it's not a stopwatch."
Or some of the hipsters would be like, "Oh, yay, steampunk accessory, yeah." So,
anyway, I brought that up to point out, I was using the Next Issue app to read that article in PC Magazine, and you can do that too. In fact, you can go and get a free trial right now at nextissue.com/FTL. It's a $15 savings. Plans start as low as $9.99 per month, and one account can actually be shared with up to five people, which I think is a pretty cool thing. So it's kind of like, you know how in the magazine world there's a pass around, right? So, you know, somebody orders the magazine, but then the magazine company figures it gets loaned out to people and
sure,
passed around.
Yeah.
So that kind of
or take
that
it into the bathroom with you.
30-day free trial. You can go to nextissue.com/FTL. It works on iPad, iPhone, Android tablets, and smartphones. Doesn't yet work for any smartwatches. But you can go to nextissue.com/FTL. It's kind of like the Netflix for magazines, but better because you can go back to many, many past issues, get access to all the latest issues, over 150 different great magazines. And basically, you know, their plans here, the $9.99 plan, that's the cost of two magazines at the newsstand. So, you know, for the price of two physical magazines that you have to throw into a corner or a closet and stack up with a bunch of other magazines is enough to give you access to 150 magazines. And it gets it all right there on your phone. It's like a a buffet of magazines. Have as much as you want. There's more content in the Next Issue app than you could possibly read in a month's period of time. Of course, there's also the weekly magazines, too, you know, the Newsweeks and those ones. So nextissue.com/FTL. Go sign up for your free trial. That's nextissue.com/FTL. Our toll-free number tonight is 855-450-FREE. Daryl, you wanted to share something on the Asimov's robot rules that we were talking about before about protecting human life.
Yeah, so there's a story here from io9.com, and they say that the rules of robots cannot protect us. Well, even though, and let me just run through these again. Rule zero, which came after the first three were written, says that a robot may not harm humanity or by inaction allow humanity to come to harm. Rule one, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Rule two, a robot must obey the orders given to it by humans, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And rule three is a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
Okay.
So the story here, or the article, says in Asimov's fictional universe, these laws were incorporated into nearly all of the Pisotronic robots. They were not mere suggestions or guidelines. They were embedded into the software that governs their behavior. What's more, the rules could not be bypassed, overwritten, or revised. Invariably, and as demonstrated in so many of Asimov's novels, the imperfections, loopholes, and ambiguities enshrined within these laws often resulted in strange and counterintuitive robot behavior. The laws were too vague, for example, by failing to properly define and distinguish human and robot. Additionally, robots could unknowingly breach the law if information was kept from them. What's more, a robot or AI endowed with superhuman intelligence would be hard-pressed to not figure out how to access and revise its core programming.
Mm-hmm.
Sci-fi aside, and as many people are apt to point out, these laws were meant as a literary device. But as late as 1981, Isaac Asimov himself believed that they could actually work. Writing in Compute, he noted, I have my answer ready whenever someone asks me if I think that my three laws of robotics will actually be used to govern the behavior of robots once they become versatile and flexible enough to be able to choose among different courses of behavior. My answer is yes. The three laws are the only way in which rational human beings can deal with robots or with anything else.
Well, that'd be nice, but I think it's only going to exist in the world of fiction because obviously the government exists and their robots are not going to follow those rules. They will be used to oppress. They will be used to kill. There's more to your story, though.
There is.
Coming up, 855-450-FREE, and already private robots aren't following these rules. I mean, there's the vacuum cleaner robot from iRobot. It doesn't care if it hurts people.
The droids from Star Wars, IG-88, killed his own programmers.
We'll come back with more here in moments. 855-450-FREE, Free Talk Live.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. I'm holding a book that will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now, I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at 80, you need to read this free book. It includes the strategy I use to make a 72% profit on a trade where the stock only moved 12%. You'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-944-5836. Skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-944-5836. 1-800-944-5836.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007.
And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
We're back now here on Free Talk Live. You can share your thoughts on the rules of robots. Isaac Asimov wrote them originally back, what was it, the 40s?
1942.
And a lot of people have taken them very, very seriously. And the question is, you know, are these going to be used as the basis for, you know, sort of the order of operations that runs the robots of the future?
The rules for robots, and I just want to correct something that you were saying about, well, the little vacuum cleaner robot doesn't follow these rules.
No, it'll run right into you.
The vacuum cleaner robot is not artificial intelligence. The vacuum cleaner robot does not get to make choices based on, you know, series of information. The vacuum cleaner robot
chooses. It chooses which direction to go based on its inputs, sensors. You know, it determines where walls are, and
there's a sensor that determines where walls are, and when it bumps into one,
it goes another
there's
direction.
Something that tells it to turn around. That's being programmed. That's not making a decision.
Well,
making a decision would be, I'm not going to vacuum this room in a straight line. I'm going to vacuum this room in a zigzag pattern.
I don't know. I guess there would be somebody out there, maybe an AI expert, who could explain why it's not AI, but I say it is AI. It's just a very rudimentary form of AI. It is very basic, and its programming is very simple.
The thought process, if there is one, and I contend that there's not one for the vacuum robot, it cannot expand. So, like, it
cannot
learn.
Yeah.
And that is something that is needed for artificial intelligence, is the capacity to learn.
Hmm.
But that's not really what this article is about. The article is about the rules of robots cannot actually save humanity.
All right, let's find out why.
So they say now some three decades later, this after 1981, when Asimov said that, yes, his rules for robots can, in fact, protect humanity. Now, nearly three decades later, we are inching closer to the day when we'll have robots, or more accurately, AI that runs them, that are versatile and flexible enough to choose different courses of behavior. Indeed, it'll be only a matter of time before machine intelligence explodes beyond human capacity in all the ways imaginable, including power, speed, and even physical reach.
It's true.
Frighteningly, the margin for error will be exceedingly small. If superficial artificial intelligence, what they call ASI, is poorly programmed or ambivalent to human needs, it could lead to catastrophe. We need to ensure that AI is safe if we're to survive its advent. To learn if Asimov's three laws could help, we've contacted two AI theorists who have given the subject considerable thought. Ben Gortzel, an AI theorist and chief scientist of financial prediction firm Idea Holding, and Louis Helm, the deputy director of the Machine Intelligence Research Institute and executive editor of Rockstar Research magazine. After speaking to them, it was clear that Asimov's laws are wholly inadequate for the task, and that if we're to guarantee the safety of SAI, and I don't know why they put SAI here when they put ASI up above, but that's the supernatural artificial intelligence, or
what that stands for?
Super artificial intelligence.
Okay.
We're going to have to devise something entirely different.
Why?
He writes, I started the conversation by asking Gortzel and Helm about the ways in which Asimov's future vision was accurate and ways in which it wasn't. Quote, I think the kind of robots that Asimov envisioned will be possible before too long, responded Gortzel. However, in most of his fictional worlds, it seems that human-level robots were the apex of robotics and AI engineering. This seems unlikely to be the case. Shortly after achieving Asimov-style human-like robots, it seems that massively superhuman AI and robots will be possible. So the typical future world in Asimov's robot stories, he says, is where most of the life is similar to how it is today, but with humanoid intelligent robots walking around. It seems unlikely to come about, or if it does exist, it will be short-lived.
So he didn't envision a world like the Terminator, where there's
killer
robots that can morph, and they're much stronger, and...
He probably didn't even think about drones, either.
Drones, these humongous aircraft, tanks, or whatever. All right.
For Helm, the robots are completely beside the point. The main issue I expect to be more important for humanity is not the moral regulation of a large number of semi-smart humanoid robots, but the eventual development of advanced forms of artificial intelligence, whether embodied or not, that function at far greater than human levels. This development of superintelligence is a filter that humanity has to pass through eventually. That's why developing a safety strategy for this transition is so important. I guess I see it as largely irrelevant that robots, androids, or emulations may exist for a decade or two before humans have to deal with the real problem of developing machine ethics for super intelligence. They do say that the three laws are a good starting point, given that Asimov's three laws were the first genuine attempt to address a very serious problem, that of ensuring the safe behavior of machines imbued with greater than human intelligence. I wanted to know the various ways in which the laws might still be deemed effective or inspirational at the very least. Helm says, I honestly don't find any inspiration in the three laws of robotics. The consensus in machine ethics is that they're an unsatisfactory basis for machine ethics. The three laws may be widely known, he says, but they're not really used to guide or inform actual AI safety researchers or even machine ethics.
Interesting. So it's just something from the world of fiction, basically.
Yes. Yeah. And something that it mentioned earlier about the blurred lines between human and not. And Danica, you had mentioned like Star Wars or Star Trek or something. So like Vulcans are not humans. So the robots would not have to listen to Spock ever because Spock is not a human.
Got it.
Interesting.
There you go. And yeah, I wouldn't expect these rules would apply for very long with governments around because, again, the whole purpose of a robot that a government were to hire or make would be to destroy human life.
And they also see the rules of robots as being prejudice against robots and, like, human chauvinism.
Hmm. Share your thoughts here, toll-free, 855-450-FREE. The darknet markets are still out there, and they're doing fine. There have been all kinds of raids against these underground drug marketplaces. You've heard about the Silk Road. You might have heard about Silk Road 2.0. They've both been taken down by the feds. There was another, when Silk Road 2.0 went down, I think there was a multi-operation kind of thing that happened. They took down multiple websites as well.
And then Silk Road Reloaded came out.
So wasn't that Silk Road 2.0?
No.
Oh, Reloaded was 3.0?
Yes.
I haven't been back to that since the day it came out, so it's not even in the, I don't think it's in the top five. So I think the days of Silk Road are pretty much over at this point, but there are lots of other markets that are out there. And according to DailyDot.com, the black markets continue to grow at strong rates, no matter what the cops and thieves have to say about it. Darknet markets have grown over 37% in product listings in the last year, despite sweeping police actions and the constant threat of multimillion dollar theft looming large. This is the fourth straight year of strong growth among major black markets, even as the biggest and most famous markets like Silk Road Evolution and Silk Road 2 are left for the history books. Over 68,738 products are listed across 10 major black markets. Two-thirds of the inventory is drugs, and the rest of the products include weapons, stolen credit cards and accounts, malware, and more. At this time last year, darknet markets, which are only accessible through the Tor network, had just crossed the 50,000 product threshold. That's up from around 18,000 products in October of 2013, when federal agents seized the Silk Road and arrested its founder, Ross Ulbricht. So it hasn't even been 2 years since the original Silk Road bust, and now there are more than, looks like, three times as many products available. So up from 18,000 products in October of 2013 to 68,000 products today. To arrive at the figures, over at DailyDot.com, they surveyed all the product listings on the 10 major darknet markets. Each market offers clear categorization of its products, allowing us to identify the proportion of drugs and fraud products on sale in each market. We couldn't verify how many of these products sell, or how well they sell, nor did we account for products listed across multiple markets, because there are dealers who deal on multiple markets.
Right, and that's something that I was going to ask, is how many of these are cross-posting?
Lots of them. However, selling on these markets does cost money, which discourages spam listings. We then put all the markets together to determine the market share by product listings in order to determine which market was the largest. And the most enduring institution on the darknet today is Agora Marketplace, which is, of course, the same thing. Agora's marketplace in Greek. Founded in December of 2014 amidst the rubble of Silk Road's initial fall, Agora now counts for 37% of all darknet product listings. It's a drug-heavy market with substantial supplies in marijuana, ecstasy, and prescription drugs. And you can go and learn more just by Googling around. We'll see you online tomorrow. In the meantime, at freetalklive.com.
Now, kid, I know you look at me and think, man, that guy knows everything. And you're right, I do. But occasionally, even I get stumped. I know, hard to believe. But when I need help, I get it from Grainger. Grainger can solve just about anything, from finding the right products to advice on installation to troubleshooting. Grainger gets me what I need, right when I need it. When a guru needs a guru, who does a guru call? Guru calls Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina.
so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.